had so much pulse on in my life.
This just into the Survivor SA newsroom. Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Can We Get This Right Today? T!
N.
O.
Not too bad, not too bad, Sean. I think it's the first time we've actually executed this right amongst, over the last six episodes we've done. Am I right there?
Yeah, I think so. Right in time
for
the
end. As a person behind the scenes, I'd say yes.
Yes. We're getting to you, Warren. We haven't introduced you yet, so let's just calm down. Everybody in the comments, we've got Mr. Ponga, Three Chains. He is the man who put our little intro track in the beginning of the show, so thank you very much, sir, for your contribution to this season. We've got Dylan Faree in the house. We've got Cassidy Miller in the house, and we've got Alex. Let's go. This is officially the last episode of TNO for this season, because why? Yes, Survivor SA ended last week, but before we kick on, we've got our stone-faced Sean Gilbride in the top right-hand corner. You know him. The heart, Dante's heart, or Dante's soulmate, or I don't know what, doppelganger, whatever you want to call him. And then at the bottom here, we've got the Warren. The Warren that owes everyone a half a skull that people have been asking for. We're not sure if he did one for today's show, but we just want to say that this is a show that we put together for the fans, for the diehards, and we do it at no expense other than our time, and Warren is a massive, massive contributor to the show. So all the beautiful animations that you see, he is the man. So put a round of applause together for Warren Pereira there.
Thank you very much.
Yes, yes, yes. So, gentlemen, you saw this week. It was a crazy week. We've got a couple of five skulls running around there based on what the comments are in the story section of TNO. What are your overall thoughts with regards to the week in focus?
Sean, you want to go?
It was different. I don't know. It wasn't what I expected. Well, maybe just the final episode wasn't what I expected, you know. But it was a good week. Still think last week was maybe better or more exciting. It was a good ending, I think.
Yeah, just in case anyone is wondering, don't get too carried away, because Sean is that guy that's going to pop the balloon and just bring you back down to earth. Warren, where's your head at?
I would agree to a point with Sean in terms of it was different. I didn't expect what happened. What kicked in my brain was I completely forgot this was shot during COVID. So yeah. The ending stuff that happened kind of caught me off guard, because I didn't understand why they were pushing and things were happening so fast and the way they came together. And then I was like, oh yeah, my brain cells all stopped working. I was like, it was COVID, so they had to change it up. But I would disagree with him in the fact that last week was better than this week for a few things. But yeah.
Ah, nice. Well, get stuck.
So was that the reason, right?
Thanks, Odette.
Sorry, just in terms of, I suppose we'll get into it a bit later. But when was the shot exactly? Do you know?
Yeah, it was shot from, I think it was December time, and ended roughly, obviously, it was 39 days from then. So end of Jan, Feb, or it was beginning of Jan. It was in that time frame.
Okay. So in January we're coming back
down,
to like a wave.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But on that note, gentlemen, you know, we normally kick off with an icebreaker. To be perfectly honest, in the comments, I haven't prepared one today, largely because I was caught off guard with regards to how the season ended. So if you want to put an icebreaker in the comments, we will ask the gentleman this question. But just going back to the week in focus, obviously we had four big players coming into the situation. We had the outcome. That is Dino seeing himself as the super fan winning a season of Survivor, not just any season. We're going to talk about arguably one of the greatest seasons that LaRue and the crew have put together. But in terms of how we got there, and in terms of the production, in terms of everything else, Warren, what are your thoughts in terms of Dino's journey in particular?
I guess it's difficult. Compared to the previous season, if I link obviously to that one, Yeah. Obviously, it's head and shoulders above because he didn't make it very far in the previous one. And I think he, as he said near the end of the of this week, or at the end of this week, the stuff that he spoke about, I think he hit it on the mark. He came in expecting if he plays this way, this one way, you know, doesn't befriend too many people, sticks to his stuff, it's going to work in his favor. And clearly didn't. And now he came in getting a second opportunity and almost rectifying the errors he had before for a large part. And yes, there were things that worked in his favor unexpectedly. But I think in terms of his actual gameplay in terms of socializing and strategy and figuring out how to put the idols here and there and whatnot, definitely way better than what he did last season. He's the puzzle master, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah.
Worked out better in this case because he didn't do many puzzle wins. Didn't do many puzzle wins.
Yeah. So, no, that's why I was laughing. Puzzle master. I thought some of those challenges were set up just for Dino to win them, and he lost almost all of them.
Yeah.
But I suppose that's why it worked. That's why I'm saying it actually worked out in his favor, surprisingly, because he had to change his game where before he was relying purely on everyone will keep me in a sense because I'm going to win these challenges. And that kind of stuff, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, and I mean, from your...
Oh, back, Logic.
Well, there we go. We've
so your it. Opinion, Sean?
My opinion was, I was thinking about that, like, okay, now I got Claudia's name right on my forehead, but I'll continue anyway.
I'm back! Sorry, I'm just making sure everything is all right. Yes, no, Sean, yeah, from your perspective, I mean, you called Dino being the winner a couple of weeks ago. You like the car curse, whatever, and he was your winner pick. So, I mean, what made you have this foresight that everyone else, or I'm assuming a lot of people in the comments also predicted this, but in terms of your opinion, why did you see this coming?
I think it was twofold. I think firstly, I think it was based on me really not wanting Marion to win, so I was just hoping maybe Dino would win. And secondly, I think his relationships that he was building, like, you know, no matter how hard people were pushing that he was a big threat, you know, Dante leading the charge saying we need to get Dino out, like, pre-merge, he was saying to these oaks when he finished that one stacking puzzle, that he was pointing it out to people, that he's a big threat. And it just seemed like no matter what, he built good enough relationships with the people that kind of weren't really in his alliance, outside that No BS alliance. And then they, like Merrill and Marion, that they didn't want to vote him out, even when Dante really wanted to get him out. So that's why I thought, you know, he's got a great chance of winning. I mean,
yeah.
Also, it did seem when he, I don't know, when he hosted the viewing party, you me too, I thought, okay, well, he must have done pretty well. Because, like, I don't know. You wouldn't really, like, if you've done badly, you're not going to be hosting everyone to come over. Let everyone come have a look and see how terribly I did at Survivor. You know, I'm the super van who got voted out in the first, like, week. So I was pretty sure he did relatively well. You know, like I said, I didn't know how far that went, but it seemed like his gameplay was really good. More, obviously, strategically, he's really good. He knows the game very well, but it seemed like the relationships that he was forming even a few weeks ago, really served him well.
Sure, well, I mean, said that to Claudio today. Sorry, Claudio, I said it today. All the hostings and stuff they did now made a little bit more sense with some disposable income that now was present.
Yeah, there we go.
Right, and on that disposable income and on that note, let's talk about the big point that we always talk about in the show, and it is called what, Warren, you know this very well, seeing as you are in the background all the time, and you have put this thing together. Whoops, shit. Mm.
Golden Spear, bruh.
Yeah, boy. It is time for the Golden Spear. Obviously, we had four contestants this week. It went down to the wire. We know Dino won it, but does that mean he deserves the Golden Spear? And before you say yes in the comments, let's really think about this and unpack everything clearly before we make a final decision. Sean, you are nodding your head. Why, sir? Who are your nominations? Let's hear it.
No, I think it should be Dino. I mean,
final next question. Warren, let's go down to you. Yeah, exactly. See what else you got there. No, I'm joking. Okay, Sean, continue.
No, next section. That's it. No, I'm joking. I saw a few people saying Marion. I don't know how you could give it to anyone else, but Dino, I mean, okay, obviously we're doing the week in focus or this week, but you know, he won it. He took the holiday. He took the car. Like, you know, what more was there to win?
Favorite? Has that been announced?
I was also curious about that. I was going to ask that later. Like, who they didn't seem. I saw something on Mnet that you could vote, but then in the final episode they didn't vote because I was hoping my pick for fan favorite of Phil would have won.
Olanko is saying Dino's fiance deserves the golden spear. But Sean, yeah, let's unpack it. Why does he deserve it exactly? If you've got to pinpoint this week, because again, it is for the week. We know he's won the entire season, so arguably he deserves that. But for the week in particular, what did he do correctly?
I mean, I think in terms of building that relationship with Marion and seemingly Shane, something that Phil didn't do. He didn't seem to have a good relationship with Shane. So when they got to Final Four, all Dino really had to do, because he had built those relationships, was make sure, obviously that is quite a difficult thing to do, was to make sure Phil didn't win that challenge. Obviously, him dominating the challenges might have been a bit difficult, but that's... Yeah. He had, like, you know, all he had to do, Phil didn't win the challenge, and then it seemingly set in stone that he was going to be taken to Final Three. Then I didn't actually know that, but seemingly Dino did, that all final challenges are endurance. So, I mean, if he lost that, it would have been horrendous. He's against some small girl and old man, once it was sure Phil was going to be voted out, I was sure Dino was going to win it because.
Yeah, to be fair, Sean, I think even the people I was watching with, they were like, this, I understand the endurance sort of challenge always comes right at the end. It's always the one that is the decider for someone who takes anyone with them. But from a Marion perspective, it is very, very difficult for her to compete in this. And I don't want to say, like, she can come on and saying, yeah, maybe, you know, she felt she had the right to compete. But I think when you're looking at the 39 days in a whole, I do think she is at a disadvantage with regards to the challenge, personally speaking. I don't know if that's a feel that
the
you guys...
The specific challenge?
Yeah.
The specific challenge or just challenges? Why did
No,
you feel
no, that's that specific challenge. I think, like, it's that challenge was gearing up for a person with an upper body strength. You've already spoken to the fact in terms of a size being smaller. I think Dino, in his case... He had stronger legs, so he was able to really push up and you know, use that to his advantage. I don't know.
Maybe she's lighter.
Yeah, I was going to say that. In terms of weight, yes, she might not have stronger arms possibly, but weight-wise, she is better there in that section. If you notice in the probably the first one, obviously they cut it up, but first, say, 10 or so minutes of that challenge, she didn't move. Once she slid her legs there and everything, she didn't shift. It was Shane and Dino trying to move around. Getting, you know, that kind of thing. Obviously, once it tilted and more pressure went onto her upper body, then you saw the change. But if it, let's just say it stayed at 40 degrees, 45, she probably would have taken it. Just because, at least from what I could tell.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I don't think she had a massive disadvantage because, like, yeah, I mean, I don't want to be a dick, but, like, none of those oaks are exactly in peak physical conditions. Like, if she was against... If she was against like a Dante or maybe like a Tejon, like they all three of them would have been at a massive disadvantage, or even Phil. Somehow Phil was really good at endurance for some unknown reason. But you know, once Dino said it was an endurance challenge, I was sure he was going to win it because it just didn't seem like in the other challenges Shane and Marion had come even close. Anything sort of endurance related or anything physical, they'd struggled so much that he had put himself in a great position. But then, having said that, that's also maybe why Phil was a much easier choice, because I'm almost sure he would have won that challenge. Like, so if it's a choice between Dino and Phil, and you know then you know that endurance is coming up, then you kind of have to go Dino. You can't let Phil in there, because then you got to hope he takes you. Where I think Marion and Shane were more set on Dino taking them.
Yeah, and we've got Oded saying, he thinks he doesn't think she was. Hanging is always more geared towards females as they carry a lot less weight, and that's similar to what you were saying, Sean. Warren, in terms of your opinion this week, I know so obvious candidate here. Sean's jumped the start here. Dino, your opinion? What do you think?
Yeah, look, I says ultimately yes, it will fall to Dino based on everything. I would have probably said Marion if Dino hadn't won the last challenge.
Yeah.
Then I
so
even
she
if
would
she,
have won.
Yeah, I'm saying if she, yeah, then I would have given it to her just from the fact it was the be all and end all in a sense. That
yeah.
As much as it's the deciding factor of the week, the episode before, that solidified, for example, his complete game, navigating everything all the way through and literally taking the one that he almost picked himself as a winner, basically, in a sense, yeah. With the jury and everything. That's, so I'd fall to that. But otherwise, it would be Marion. I wouldn't pick Shane, even though my Twitter screen grab picked Shane. I probably wouldn't have chosen him in the end.
I think, look,
I don't know,
I was going to throw... Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Sean. No. I was going to... Sorry, I don't even let you speak. I would say... I would almost say Shane has a better shot at winning my Golden Spear than Marion. I mean, he you could see, and I don't know why he picked yeah. that one. Maybe just to get Phil out, but you know he really tried on that challenge, and it was very physical. And the challenge he won, not the one, not the final one, that one that ended with the puzzle. It was a physical challenge with a puzzle. He had it in him that he wanted to win it. He went out and won it. He then obviously voted Phil out, so he put himself in a better position for the endurance challenge that they all knew was coming. And then, I mean, you can argue maybe because he didn't play his game wasn't as good as Marion, that's why he got taken to final two. But you know, he won the challenge, got Phil out, got taken to final two. I think that's a better week than Marion having lost challenges and not making final
yeah.
two.
Yeah. And I think, that's the name I want to throw out here. Just, look, is he going to win the Golden Spear? No, he's not going to win the Golden Spear. But I do think it's important to note, and it's a conversation we need to have here, and also amongst the comments, largely because Shane, he starts the season, he gets a massive shock of his life. He thinks he's going to play it like swinging the gun in the Wild Wild West like he did in the previous season, calling the shots, making the shots. Doesn't quite do that. He changes drastically. And now, arguably, in this situation, if he hadn't won that challenge in full head, he might have been the casualty there and, you know, not taking any risks. He wins the clutch challenge for his game and then he goes back to doing the business that he does, and that's lying, you know, subterfuge, under to his point, you know, underlining himself, not being too much of a threat, letting people want to take him to the end. Now, the conversation I want to ask, or the sort of argument we need to discuss, is, yes, he goes to the end according to that strategy. And we've spoken goats versus not goats and. Dino, clearly, the stronger player. But if Shane puts a different argument, if he has more to his game, it makes it seem a lot more intentional as to, rather than just trying to survive and be a symbiotic relationship like a small fish and a big shark situation, should he actually have a better chance of what he has? And that's what I want to ask. Warren, you can jump in here first.
I suppose, yes, to what you're saying, it probably would have. Sorry, I was just reading the post, the comment.
I was going to stop it. Agree with Sean. Yeah.
You can read it.
Every time it says agree with Sean, I like it.
it's a very bright white bar that pops up. So just caught my attention. I agree with you in that if he changed his, I guess, dialogue, if you can put it that way, to what he said to the jury and how he approached maybe the last couple of weeks or few episodes I've been awarded, then yes, I think he's in probably one of the better positions he could have been, top three. Final three, sorry. But then, yes, I agree. With that process change, he probably would have been a bit more in control without others really knowing and pulling a little bit more string than kind of relying on, maybe if I just over-deliver my point of view of how I think I should be viewed, it may have come out a bit better for him. And he might have been in a better position because, for example, he might have won the challenge and be able to say, look, I still won the final two, the more important ones, this and that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I agree with you in that sense. I think he played a good game, but just really great game. Just, I suppose, it's those finer details, if you want to put it that way.
It's just probably not the game to win this season when you're comparing who he played up, like who he played and who the jury was. Maybe, like, and I suppose maybe that's the question. Does he win in a newbie season? Does he have more of a chance in a newbie season? Sean, if you had to play and you didn't know any difference and he pitched what he pitched, would you give him your vote?
Difficult to tell. I mean, in that final in this season, I would definitely be voting for Dino. But also, although like Shane spoke really well, it was also he spoke really well, and you could obviously seeing him trying to appeal to everyone's emotions. But it was quite confusing when he just says he's in the shadows and he's learned all these tactics on how to like subtly manipulate, but he doesn't ever give examples. So yeah. I was thinking, if you've done this, if you think you've done this, make Dino argue the point why it was his move and it wasn't your move. But just to say like I managed this game by tactics that I'd learned to work in the shadows, for me is not a strong argument. Like unless they're concrete examples that said, okay, on this vote, like these people came with me and I did. You got to give some sort of examples because Dino's were quite clear and everyone kind of assumed that he was running some of the votes and he had played a good social game and everyone viewed him as a threat. They didn't view Shane as a threat. So tell people what you did. Don't some this like shadow thing, but not even concrete examples. I don't think he would have got my vote with that. It was a different approach to how to get the votes to start picking out people and telling them how you had built relationships with them and stuff like that. But no real strategy talk. I don't know.
You're making me think of Kalani when she said he rocked up and said, I planned all of this.
But you know what? Actually, But I do think if Kalani makes it to the end, we'll hear more of these plans come to the forefront, whether or not it was her doing, but we would have heard something. And I think that was exactly the point that he was missing in the game. He really went the emotional route. I know Dead coming up there saying he went the pity vote, or it wasn't the pity vote. He couldn't win with pure strategy, so he had to pitch his social game. And I think the social game is an interesting one, but he didn't even come out right and say social. He was trying to just show the relationship he had with people, but he didn't specifically say, I played a social game, but these are the decisions I made to play the social game, if that makes sense. And that's what was lacking in terms of what you're saying there, Sean. And that's the interesting one. Maybe again in the newbie season where this isn't a thing, but this is a game of returnees, and they're going to scrutinize every little facet. And I think what Dino has done so well throughout the entire season is he wasn't afraid to play up the emotions. And not saying all the emotions weren't genuine, not saying that at all, but there were times and situations where he knew he was going to go and he played it up and he played that face that he pulls. And he did it in the right moments. And the conversation he's having with Marion, for example, the one about where, you know, Kirsten's telling him, no, got to think about outside the game. As much as that is the truth, he's playing that up to try and manage the situation and still get a vote from Marion. And I think that's the sort of level of dark arts that Dino was playing at that Shane just wasn't on the same radar. Warren, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Dean clicked quite quickly, especially when Marion was pretty outright up front at the final tribal council that she was pissed off with him and hurt. And he basically understood he wasn't getting her vote, I think, at that point. And I'm not saying he wasn't genuine about the fact that he was upset that he hurt her and the way she felt, but he's not stupid. So he was clever enough to click and say, okay, I need to twist this a little bit and make it so there's less damage towards me so I don't look this way, because everyone was a fan of Marion, everyone loved Marion. So if Marion turns left, everyone may look a little left. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think he changed it a bit, not saying it's not genuine, but he understood what was happening and or played accordingly. I think with Shane, he's one, at least from my point of view, he said a lot of how everyone changed him, which is fine, but he did, as Sean was saying, he didn't really stipulate what he did to change anyone else or the movement within the actual game itself socially. You're just telling everyone else, oh, you made me a better person, great, but how did he go through everything and weave his way in between to get to where he is now, apart from winning one challenge?
Yeah. And again, it's just...
Yeah, I think so. No,
sorry, Sean. It just brings us back to the point where Olankos says, you know, if we're going to give the golden spear, maybe it is Kirsten who deserves it, Jeff, because she got him to snap back to reality and make the right decision because he was hypnotized by Marion, sit for the best plan. Sean?
Yeah, I'm undecided. I'd love to know which aspect of that was true and which one wasn't, because I remember saying a few episodes ago that him coming outright and saying like he wants to sit next to the best in the final two and he wants to win it. I said, that doesn't seem like a good strategy. Not many people will do that faced with the money. So, you know, great strategy throwing your fiance under the bus and just blaming her for everything because it's won some sort of sympathy votes, you know. Just say, oh, look, I wanted to take you, but, you know, I wasn't allowed. I wasn't allowed. You know, the boss said she wants the money. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Guys, I'm gonna throw a spanner in the works here. I think LaRue and the crew need to get a shout-out because I think what I really liked about, yes, we're watching Survivor, and yes, it is a local production. And it's, what's quite interesting is the fact that it was shot locally. And, Sean, I've asked you this before, you know, would it be worthwhile them going back overseas? But what I kind of like in terms of what they've done this season, it kind of makes people watching going, no, I want to play Survivor, but I want to go to the same location and I want to do it better than the guys that played it, in terms of my opinion. But what I liked even further was the fact that they brought the wildlife situation in with regards to the rhinos and the rhino conservation. And they didn't just show it and say, this is a reward, like it normally gets done. They actually pinpointed the names and they're saying, here's the charity, go donate if you want to go support them. And here's the situation. I thought that was nice tying into Survivor and surviving and how we can also help other creatures on this planet survive. Warren?
No, I agree. That was a cool part. I do actually, well, it's a debit order. Money does go out every month for rhino poaching and stuff from my side. So I appreciated that whole process they did and what they went through. And that it wasn't just, as you said, a screen grab in a sense and just said, look, this is what you're going to do. Have fun while we watch them back at camp try and manipulate their way to the end. It was partially educational, obviously, and showed a softer side to everyone. And that as much as this is still entertainment and we should enjoy the show, there's more things happening behind the scenes. And we should take notes and focus on that. And then, with, like you said, with the surviving part of it, it all kind of came together nicely with the rhino poaching and how to help fix it and change that. And then bring them back to reality and say, can I go back to your dirt camp?
It's so weird to think that we all watched that and had such differing opinions. Because I was thinking, this is what does this have to do with Survivor? Like, I don't want to watch people on a game drive. Like, I'm happy. Like, they can just.
It's only because you've gone so many, Sean. Okay, it's only because you go every weekend.
Yeah, yeah, maybe.
How many rhinos have you saved?
None, but I mean, if they like, that's obviously. I mean, obviously, you saying it's for South Africa and to explore. That's an absolute. That's just the promotion that those people pay, which I suppose is good for the country and stuff like that. But the resort side of it, the rhino poaching, cool. We raised awareness, but maybe just have an ad in the beginning. I don't know. It's not why I watch Survivor, but maybe it
would
does some good.
Would you have preferred them physically chasing down the rhino as a duo
with a GoPro or something, you know, some action
with a syringe to put it to sleep.
I just thought it was
like
a weird addition. Like,
Sean is our concrete, he's our stone. You know, one day when they're going to build a statue on Survivor, if Sean ever plays, he's going to be that statue face, not because of he's earned the right, but just because of his emotions. Hey, right, am I right there, Sean?
Maybe, but I don't know. That's why it's so weird. I'm always intrigued to hear your guys' opinions and differing opinions. Because when I'm seeing this, I'm going like, this is just a boring game drive, and they're gonna.
Okay, but then based on our response, are you somewhat swayed, or you still feel it's BS from outside?
No, because even when
no
I
BS.
Watched it, I was like,
no
okay, cool. Yeah.
No
even when I watched it, I was like, okay, cool. They're raising some awareness for rhinos. Hopefully, it does some good. But the showing the resort and everything has nothing to do with that sort of conservation. That's just paid advertising that they're showing in the middle of the show, because I assume they get paid more than showing it in the front. Because obviously,
but without that, we don't get to watch Survivor, Sean. So that's the most important thing. Let's do the thing that makes it right, so we can keep seeing the show.
So that's the thing. So I don't know if you want me to judge as an auditor or viewer, because as an auditor, maybe I like that. Maybe take as much money as you can. Put adverts right in the middle. Cause they're paying. As a viewer, I don't want to see
six
that.
6 minutes of ads right in the middle.
Oh my goodness. All right, just but I want to throw Phil's name out as well. We need to talk about Phil's game, largely because he goes out, but he doesn't just go out. He goes out swinging. And yes, he's not going to win the Golden Spear. But the game that he played was arguably, I mean, if we got to, forget about the winner. Forget about who makes it to the end, right? And I know the conversation is if you've won, you played the best game, yada, yada, yada. But when we're looking at Phil, versus a Marian versus a Dino, if you had to put them all three at tribal council and they all made it to the end, who would you be backing?
Marian, Phil, and Dino.
Yeah.
Three of them, like I said, I mean, again, like I'm not judging as a viewer, I would probably go Phil if he made it to the final one. I think it's difficult with the challenge one because, you know, he does get pegged as this challenged beast who they don't want to keep around for the endurance thing. But what do you do in a challenge? Like, you might think every week is going to, or every vote or every tribal council might be your last one. How do you not give it your all every challenge? And I'm sure they're all giving their all. He's just beating them. I don't think anyone's throwing those challenges. So I don't know what you sort of expect from him to not win it. Like, you know, if he didn't win the one before, or the one he won, like if he didn't win that one, he would have been voted out anyway. So he has to carry on winning. But his strategic game up till then was really good. Even I thought that plan of the four of them, if they could, obviously he didn't really have Dino on his side, but, you know, if they could convince Marian to vote for one of them and Shane to vote for the other one, and they both voted whoever didn't win the immunity out, I thought that was a good play. But obviously, I think Dino and Phil both knew that they weren't taking each other to final two. So, you know, then you have to go against Phil in the endurance challenge. So that was sort of never an option for Dino. But it was still strategically a good move. Dino just knew he probably couldn't beat Phil on endurance. And then Phil, the same as Dino, was not going to take what he thought was the best player. He was going to take the Oki thought he could win against.
Fair enough, Warren. Sean's got a huge admiration from the physical side of the game, and I think that's the point that Phil really dominated, but maybe the timing of that domination wasn't well stretched, because there's only so much you can do. Once you start winning all the challenges, you have to win all the challenges. We spoke about that. We actually thought that might be Dino's instance, and what he did was, to a certain extent, and I'm sure if we have this conversation with Dino, not saying outright that, you know, he could beat him all the time, but I think to a certain extent he downplayed what he could do in challenges and let Phil be that shield. Or maybe he didn't. I don't know in terms of what your opinions are there, but Warren, what do you think?
I wouldn't say he downplayed on his side to let him win. I think he, because like they were saying, once you get to what tops, you know, final six, final seven type thing, you're worried, your paranoia kind of kicks in. So I think regardless, they're all trying as hard as they can. It just may be one's has a bit more energy, one's a bit better. I wanted to ask you guys, would you say Phil's season, would you link it to Chappie's last season, or not, in terms of how it kind of played out?
That's a good question.
Based on the Challenge B situation, and everything, and obviously his strategy all the way until it didn't work, obviously.
Sean, I think
Phil had a better strategy. Like, Chappies was scrambling quite a bit pre-merge, and then, you know, he was on the cusp of being voted out a few times, and then it kind of settled post-merge, and then obviously he just started dominating challenges, so it wasn't really an issue anymore. Whereas Phil, he found himself on the wrong end of the tribe swap numbers-wise, managed to make that work. You know, he came through, or fought his way through to merge, you know, had a good game going through. And then, like he said in that final one, obviously the challenge wins have something to do with it, but that was the first time anyone ever wrote his name down, if he was correct. I didn't actually fact-check him there. But if that was correct, you know, he didn't see his name written down on any part before he actually got voted out.
Dylan Faree in the comments, he's our survivor historian. He can go check that out. Just if you're not following him on Twitter already, the man's got all the facts, so go check that out. But Olanko was saying, in the last two seasons, had Fire making it four and final three, would have maybe had Chappies and full win. So if we did have the Fire making challenge, then you're giving the sort of challenge beast guys a chance at winning. But then again, it becomes no doubt. But to Sean's point, I do think, you know, Phil had a lot more about his game than what Chappies did last season. Whereas Chappies was all about survival, Phil was still playing the game in a lot of different ways. But when we're looking at the game the three of them played again, I know Sean, Phil saying outright he's the MVP. We got Oded saying the same thing. Falls, he season's MVP and Chizzy Points winner. Shout out to Shannon Gus, who has the Chizzy Points chart. If you don't know what that is, go check that out. He's saying final three had enough strategically and socially, plus physically, and he's funny, which can do a lot in final tribal council. So do you guys think if we, fan favorite hasn't been nominated yet, who's going to take that?
I'm still going with my initial prediction of Phil.
Warren?
Put it this way. If I think about Survivor Season 9, regardless of Dino winning, because it's obviously the freshest thing in my head, the player that pops in my head first is Phil.
Yeah. And I think best confessionals, arguably. But I do want to say that in terms of the game that Marion played, the game that Dino played, and Phil played, these are three different players that generally, if you ever enter Survivor, and to everyone watching and those that want to be playing Survivor again, one of the questions they do tend to ask you is, what kind of player do you want to play like? And I know without a shadow of a doubt that these are three names that are going to be thrown out when people are auditioning and saying, I want to play a full game, a Dino game, and a Marion game. All three very different but strong sort of versions of how we've elevated the game to the next level. Gentlemen, it is that time to vote for our Golden Spear. Are we ready? Are we ready? Okay, I'm going to count down from 5 in the comments. Drop your Golden Spears in the comments. 5, 4, 3. Forget my fingers. It's because I don't have my green screen with me. 2, 1. Say the name.
Dino.
Well done, Dino. You won our Golden Spear for the final week of Survivor. It is now time, ladies and gentlemen, to talk about that moment that people don't really want their names to be thrown around in, but we're going to do it anyway. And Sean, obviously, Warren did the Golden Spear. You want to take us away with the next one?
Yeah, the wooden spoon.
So now, my goodness, gentlemen, the wooden spoon time. This is a difficult time because there weren't many people to choose from. And really, one person made a costly decision that obviously threw their game out the window. And who's this person? Sean.
For me, I might even give it to all four of them in that challenge. I mean, that memory of theirs is you got 4-1. 4-1. No, 3-4-1. Yeah, and they couldn't remember the sequence, and somehow Phil, working by himself, won the challenge, even though that all the other people had the advantage. No, sorry, 3-1. So. Yeah, I don't know. Like that for me was a mistake, especially I suppose that cost Kalani the biggest, because she ended up going home that vote, and all she had to do was make sure, well, all of them had to do was make sure Phil didn't win it, and they were all good, and he ended up winning it. So I would say probably Kalani, because even when Phil, she knew the plan was to vote Phil out, so at all costs they were trying to stop him from winning the challenge. He then won, and Kalani didn't do much in terms of, trying to sway the decision.
Warren?
No, you're
thinking long and hard about this, or
I didn't know if you were going to start speaking. I agree with Sean in the fact that we kind of can't give it. I mean, I saw someone say Marion because it couldn't make it to Final 2, I understand. I would go with Kalani in the end, mostly just because if you look at the multiple episodes or shows, the one who's goat kind of premise that came up, I feel that one of the least impactful players, at least, I feel was her, and especially at the end, all the way up until the end, and then just kind of gone. That's just, I agree with him in that sense. If it has to be down to the final three players, then I agree with, I didn't see who put it up, Marion, and the fact that she thought she had it on lock in a sense. And then they sat the end. He was like, no, sorry, I can't take you because you'll win. But in terms of the whole week, then I would say Kalani, because she was obviously, she was kicked out before that section there.
All right, we've got Te Atua Ponga. He's the man, again, Three Chains, that intro track that you listened to in the beginning. By the way, he's all the way from New Zealand, and he's watching this live with us right now, so thank you very much, sir. We appreciate you. But he's saying, yes, wooden spoon to everyone who lost to Phil when they were all against Phil. So that's fair enough. Like, they let you all turn against him, and they lost. So I think we can't argue that too much.
Is this the first group's wooden spoon?
Yeah, well, why not? Yeah, I mean, the last episode.
By the way, I can't remember. I know we just had it. Was this Dino's first golden spear?
No, no, it's 1-1.
No,
before.
I think he had one.
Okay, I was going to say he had to win the game to get golden spear.
No, he did well. He did well. He just edged Phil out. Actually, the biggest loser on TNO is arguably Phil because he's just missed out. He hasn't walked away with anything. Except possibly fan favorite. Olanko is saying Shane should get the wooden spoon for not keeping Kalani and voting Dino out. That's a valid point. That's a very, very valid point. Because at the end of the day, if we are looking at what Shane did and how he got to the end, if you are going to go to the end in that way, look, either way, he makes it to the end, and in his mind, he's successful. But if you are going to get to the end, why not take someone you can potentially, you know, beat? And I don't think that works out. So good shot there, Olanko. Okay, we're going to count down from five. Gentlemen, are you ready for this?
Do we
have a name? Are we settled? Are we settled? Are we settled on all the names, yeah? All right.
I can't even, yeah.
4, 3, 2.
I can't remember all the names now.
1.
So,
Shane, and Marion.
Kalani,
all four of you get the wooden spoon for not being able to beat Phil in that one challenge. There we go.
There might be another
there from
another
Pongo,
first
sorry.
Time for Dino to receive wooden spoon and golden spear.
And golden spear on the same episode.
It's only because he's winning everything. The car, the 80K, the 2 million, possibly fan favorite. We might as well give him the wooden spoon too and the golden spear. There we go. Well done, Dino. Just cleaning up on all fronts. Okay. We got Brewer 7 saying Kalani claimed move that she didn't make. Yes. Yes.
There was many things that she claimed.
But to be fair, I mean, we don't know the full story. I mean, it would be cool to get her in studio and see how it played out. Anyway, we're gonna move on. Warren, do your introduction here for this, sir.
For everyone, this is the Skull rate number 1 to 5, what you think this week's episodes of Survivor are worth. 5 being best, 1 being worst. And no halves.
No halves.
All right, Sean, kick us away. What do you think's happening here?
I think I might disappoint you and maybe some of the viewers, but I'm definitely not going full skulls. Maybe, I don't know, when you said it, I had a little bit more sympathy, but then I saw in the comments Dylan Farina said that was filmed from end January to beginning of March, so... You know, my sympathy towards COVID restrictions sort of wanes a bit towards end of March. But for me, that final episode, the tribal council and the recap or whatever you call it, recap reunion thing, wasn't as good as they normally are, you know. Not that it wasn't live, but, you know, it's nice to have the screen up. They go through, they show maybe funny moments. They could have shown when Dino fell in the fire. They could have had, you know, recap the season a bit like.
Hang on. Warren, I like how he says, okay, there weren't any funny moments. You know, they could have shown Dino falling in the fire. Dude, what is going on here, Sean?
It was objectively funny, though. He fell in the fire.
Anyway, as you were, yes, keep going there.
No, so, I mean, that one took me like a bit. By surprise that they were having it right there, whether they read it. I thought they were just going to do sort of the votes there, read it out, and then, you know, come back to like a live studio where they would recap the season. So they had that opportunity to do that. How they normally recap it, where they bring everyone, you know, like I said, show those hilarious moments of Shona getting tackled and Dino falling in the fire. But, you know, they couldn't... Although they did show... Did they show the... Shona one. I can't remember. But yeah, I thought that the final episode wasn't that great. I wasn't as much of a big fan of the whole that whole reward thing. That seemed to take too long for me. With the rhinos and the game drives and stuff like that. So I think that's what brought it down for me. But other than that, I thought it was a great week. But it won't get my full skulls though. But I'm glad I listened to the episode last week and you guys gave them full skulls. So at least I got 1 week of
full skulls. All right. That's because you weren't on the show. Let's be honest. Okay, Warren, what are you doing?
No, you weren't under pressure. Okay, yes. in regards to that thing, that's what I said in the beginning, is the ending kind of caught me off guard because of the whole situation that they changed. Maybe that's why it became 2 million, because they didn't have to now rent out a studio, wait 3 weeks, do all the thingies. They saved money. Yeah. They're like, here's your extra pocket of cash that we're not using now. Bye, Claudio.
Yeah, maybe they made that money from that resort. They made that money from the resort.
Look what you did. You just beat. Yeah, exactly. From that thing. I think... Sorry, I actually lost my train of thought. I think it was good overall. I agree with the ending whole process. It's something we're used to, the whole big spectacle of it, and it was a bit strange, I suppose. But based on circumstances, regardless of when COVID kind of was finishing, teetering off or not, the chances are, when they planned this at that stage, this is what they had to schedule, and that was it.
Yeah.
So they're just carrying on with it. In regards to this, I spoke to Claudio a while back. When they did merge, I want to see if Sean agrees with me. When they, who was it? Palesa, who got voted out, right? Just before merge.
Yeah.
I think it was her. Yeah. I said to him, for me, that moment almost depleted the sequence, because they took such a very sad moment for everyone to reflect and think, and they threw it away and did merge, and everyone just kind of changed their mood, rather than maybe doing it the next day at the challenge or something. It's just something I kept in my mind. I felt very, I just stopped enjoying that moment. It just seemed very false. All of a sudden, everyone kind of forgot she existed. That kind of, anyway, that was just something that was stuck in my head because of tribal council. But based on this thing, I would say for me, it was one of my favorite weeks, apart from, I think, last week.
Oh, wow.
Regardless of your opinions, Sean, on rhinos, because apparently you hate animals.
No.
So there's that.
Everyone knows the rhinos are getting poached.
Okay,
as you were. Yeah.
I also felt a bit weird with it, but I understand the end, and I thought for what they had to deal with, regardless of COVID restrictions, I think it was pulled together very nicely.
Yeah, and I think that's a good shot there. I mean, Warren, when we look at Michaela saying 4 skulls, we've got Alex giving 4 skulls. Odette saying for sure it's a global top 10, and that's largely because Mr. Ponga, through change over here, giving a great sort of, sorry, my button's not working. Ah, there we go. Saying top 10 season of all time in the history of Survivor on any continent. So Johnny Fairplay approved. And I think this is the point of where the game's at. We had one or two other Americans that I know that have watched. They haven't watched Survivor in a while, and they watched the South African one, and they were like, jeepers, it's almost like they had to relearn Survivor in terms of what is capable, in terms of how the strategy has elevated. And that is saying something from where the South African Survivor seasons were to where it's gone to now. And they've elevated, they've taken it to new heights. Personally speaking, I think if you're looking overall, and you know, Sean, this is where, you know, I'm the good cop, you're the bad cop, and Warren right now is being the drought sitter, the man on the fence, giving a decent review there. But from my side, what I got to look at everything. I think there was huge improvement in terms of how they use sound throughout the series. They really touched you at the right sort of points. It added more drama to it, made it more exciting, especially more the emotional parts. They drew that out a little bit. I thought the editing was clever. When sort of chats were being had with regards to alliances and funny moments, they cut at the right times. I thought the challenges, in particular, Sean, challenges here, there were a lot of Easter eggs for diehard Survivor fans, where they've taken the best of other challenges from other seasons and they made a little bit of a remix, and I thought the execution was quite good. So from my side, I think it's the best one that has come out of South Africa. It was the best season South Africa has produced as a whole. But for the week in particular, yeah, maybe 4 skulls. But if we look at the entire season, I'm going to give it a full 5. And if you want to give it a half skull, 5.5 in the comments, you've got to speak to Warren about that yet again. Warren, not impressed.
Know what I'll do. I know the season's over, but what I'll do is if people want, instead of half, because why, I'll do gold skulls. So okay. I give you full 5 gold. So it's okay. Either if you go above 4, it's not 4.5. You're either 4 or 5. If you give it 5, it's 5 gold, and I'll make 5 gold ones just to put on Twitter. How's that
also
for a deal? Is that fine?
I think that's a good deal. If everyone can agree that this season deserves a 5 out of 5, then Warren will do that. But we've also got Brewer7 saying the game drive in Rhino was a free advert to pay for Dino's 80k boat trip honeymoon there, Sean. Also, Sean Olunko saying, will there be another season? And Sean, are you entering? The people are asking. They're asking the question.
No way, Zach. Not after talking so much shit about Survivor.
Well, you think they're going to come for you hard there? Anyway, right. I'm going to count down from five. And we're going to give us our roll. Skull. I'm going to say roll. Skull rating. Ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And?
4.
4.
Four and a half. God damn it. Okay, so everyone's saying four. Okay, wait. Well, let's see. Well, let's see what the Survivor gods have in store for us, shall we? Okay.
Actually, sorry, I am five. I am five.
No.
I'm five. No, I did five. Instagram. He manipulated my mind.
Okay, hang on. Can everyone just go Hamara Mahamara and let's speak to the Survivor gods quickly? What's our Survivor gods chant? Come on, T N O. Can we get that? Can we get that quickly? T N O. T N O. T N O. There you have it. The gods have spoken. Five, Sean. You are wrong. Right, gentlemen. Storm's brewing, and I know this is the part of the show where we talk about what is to come. And where we make predictions. In this sort of point, it's pretty much what we think is going to happen next for Survivor SA, and let us see what that's going to be all about. Warren, kick us off here, sir. What do you think is coming our way for Survivor SA?
Definitely not 3 million rand. unless it takes place over 6 days, and they show them all, but from 10 a.m. till 10 p.m., and then that's it. I think based on the success, I would say social media success of this, and just general, I suppose the general success, even internationally. Wasn't this one also part of, like, Australia watched this one or something,
yes,
broadcast-wise?
Correct.
So yep. I think internationally, it's obviously... checked a lot of boxes, and so locally it's a big success, obviously. So I think we're definitely in for a season 10. When, I don't know, but
Last comment there, Dylan. We're not gonna say it out loud, yeah. But if anyone wants to go have a look at this comment,
cloud,
share this information,
facts,
more than
facts don't care about feelings, okay.
Okay.
No, I think there'll be season 10 when, not sure. I think the reason they may take a bit of time to do one is purely just because they stepped the bar up quite high for this one. Suddenly, unexpectedly very, very good. I mean, I remember last season you and I even spoke, and there were many parts of season that were like, kind of like how Sean is about most of the episodes. So, like... but this one had a lot of I think it stepped up the game a lot, and they're going to have to take their time to I think they're going to have to strategize, if we put it that way, put it together a bit, try and make it a bit more robust, but not overdo it. I think that's what they're going to try and do, to keep it a good balance, but just elevate it a little bit more, and obviously, which is the goal in general, but I think so. I don't think they're going to do return of any outcasts. I think it'll be a brand new set.
Yeah. All right.
I agree.
That's fair.
I'd be very curious to see reading Alex's comments. That's what I was going to touch on. Whether, we obviously judging this as viewers, but what were the ratings? I'd love to know this season compared to the previous season with their new format of being 4 in 1 week. As opposed to, the normal one. And I think that maybe touches on your point, Warren, to why maybe last season felt that they at sections that felt a bit slow. Cause in my comments over these podcasts, I've said a few episodes have been slow, but maybe you just don't notice because you're getting one every day that you know, when you look back at the week, you say, sure, a lot has happened, but that's been 4 episodes. If that was 4 weeks of that happening, it was definitely like a couple of episodes where you thought, okay, not much happened that episode. So if that was a whole week, that might have stuck in your mind a bit more. But I'd be very curious to see how they did commercially as well as in the ratings. Well, I suppose those two are linked, but how they did compared to the previous season, internationally and locally, because it was a completely different format. I couldn't really tell, just you know, with my friends and everything like that, some people didn't even know Survivor was sort of happening. So, but maybe they're just not Survivor fans. So, I'd be very curious.
Well, Sean, I blame you for that, sir, because you're on a show. You're on the show, in fact. You should be getting people to watch this. So, yeah, you've got actually, you won not even half a skull for that. Come on, sir.
Well, that's what I was telling them about this amazing show. And they'd have to watch Survivor first, so it's quite a big buy-in to watch the show.
I don't know about that. Well, but according to O Lundquist, if you compete, maybe we'll get more buy-in. But yes, I do think what's interesting, format changed. Obviously, I don't know how much of it was in terms of catering to the Australian audience largely, because we have been showing reality TV shows from Australia into Africa, and those are daily formats when you look at The Block as an example. So maybe they were trying to see, cool, well, let's fit Survivor SA in, but this is the only slot that we had, so we're going to have to play it out like this. From my understanding, it wasn't intentionally meant to be a 4-episode-a-week sort of a season, but it's kind of something that was told to them after it was shot. Now, I can be stand corrected if someone comes out and says otherwise, but that's as far as I'm aware. That's the first thing. The second thing is we also got to understand from a global audience perspective. I know if we look at the ratings locally, yes, maybe locally, we're not getting as much buy-in. But what we're looking at is the diehard Survivor community is growing, and that's an important factor, number one. But number two, we have foreigners that are looking now. We've got Americans that are looking, that support the show in and out, that are looking at this going, this is a really good season of Survivor. So my longevity sort of sustainability standpoint for Survivor SA would be hypothetically to go find another investor. And I think if the producers are putting their heads together, they'll maybe, this is me just thinking and saying out loud my thoughts here, but the best thing would be to find other guys that they can shoot this independently and they can keep going.
Why do they need to find another investor? Am I out of the loop here?
Well, No. It's just based on the comments. We're looking at the comments, people saying, you know, Mnet don't have buy-in. And the issue is there's a lot of restrictions. So we've got the guys that are creating the show. And the show in particular is created by fans. And this is why we're getting what we're seeing. But if I'm still backing the show and this is my money, I still have a lot of say. And there's sort of decisions that get made. And therefore, last minute spanner in the work that says, hey, you got to do 4 episodes a week instead of 1 episode a week. Not saying that it didn't work in this case. It was still a success, in my opinion. But I'm saying, for me personally, I think they'd be better off finding someone else to try and buy into the idea. I don't know, potentially like a Netflix. Warren, what do you think?
I suppose they would... You see, you would fall into the same thing, but you'd fall into the same trap if you picked a Netflix, because Netflix releases everything at once. So you'd fall into the same trap of like a binge of a whole 19 episodes in, 3 days, for those people who are heavy into it. So you'd run that trap. But there was something you said now that I wanted to jump on top of it. It escaped my mind now. I think, look, they would have to look elsewhere. In terms of Mnet, that's what I wanted to ask you. Was last season also at 6 o'clock?
No.
So this one was earlier than before prime time.
Yeah, it was at hence our show is at 7:30. Yeah. So what's quite interesting is Alex saying, you know, the premiere had 43% less viewership compared to last season. And again, another valid point by Brewer saying, you know, this season was pirated. And that's also the difference here. A lot of people have gotten their hands on this. So a lot more people, technically, I'm very curious to see the numbers in terms of how we can actually accurately address this, because I think a lot more people watched it. But I don't think that the people watched it through the channel of who is actually investing into the show. And that's cause for concern.
So then it would be a triple threat in a sense, if you look at it based on what this kind of became is maybe because of the one pirating, so maybe there was a contract clause with the situation that there's less viewership, so maybe something happened financially, so they changed things, a format, a layout. But stipulation, maybe Australia side, they like it this way, and that's our bigger market currently. And the fact that they changed the viewing time. For something like Survivor, homemade, homegrown, local production, local everything, sound, whatever, should that not be prime time? Should that not be where everyone is at home, not potentially stuck in traffic?
Yeah. So, I think that kind of, you know, it's to the point again where these people, like whoever's funding it, now they're making the call. You've shot this thing, you've put it together for these diehard fans. But you've gone, okay, cool, now you've got to make 4 episodes a week, and also it's not going to be 7:30 prime time anymore, it's going to be 6 o'clock. People haven't even left the office yet. Sean, you the auditor. Well, I mean, what time do you average, on average, leave the office?
Yeah, after six. I didn't watch one of these live. So
you see,
so that's why I was surprised by the timing. I think I spoke to you after the first episode. You know, got back and when it premiered. And I was like, oh, it's like 7:30. Let me see what time Survivor's on, and it had already been shown. So I was shocked at the time. It seems very early, definitely not the prime time. That obviously, I mean, that must have had an impact. They have those prime times for a reason. Whether people watch it on catch up now more these days, maybe the introduction of DSTV's, or I don't know how they count viewers, but maybe the introduction of DSTV's one streaming limit might have had an impact as well, because that also took into effect after 1 April, which was obviously before this thing started showing. So, yeah, I don't know. It would be but that's what I'm saying. It would be very interesting to see how this format, this new time, how that played out.
And you know, and that's a fair point. I mean, if we're looking at what Lundqvist is saying, you're saying it was free to watch on 10 Play Australia, but not in SA. It makes no sense. And that would be an interesting sort of data collection starting point, going, well, what were the views like in Australia? That would be interesting from my perspective. Because then again, it gives more. Then it's like, why not just take the show and just get them to produce it if it did really well there? So it's an interesting sort of question. But I suppose just to round it off, gentlemen, should there be another season? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks. So. Always like Survivor.
Are you sure? Are you sure? I feel like... I feel like we need to have a proper talk. Cause
right, gents. And on that note, I think you guys were in the same WhatsApp group there, same wavelength. You both said yes at the same time. We need another episode, or another season of Survivor, rather. Sorry, that is the wrong sort of topic there. We're going to head to the final thoughts. If you have not liked, subscribed, commented, told your uncle's brother's best friend, you suck. Remember that. You must do the right thing.
Tell them that they suck.
Yeah, they suck. We've got to tell them that. Come, let's grow the tribe. This is the final episode of TNO for the season. Drop your comments below and let us know where we can improve things, any sort of ideas that you might have for us, and we'll take it on board and we'll see what we can do. Sean, what are your final thoughts?
Yeah, my final thoughts, I'd say it was a great season. It was better than I thought. I thought in the beginning it was... I don't know if it was going to live up to my expectations, but it really was a good season. Played out really well. Lots of strategic gameplay. And I did enjoy it, yeah. I think they should definitely have another one. It would be nice to see an all-new cast. The returnee cast has a different element, and I'm actually not sure which one I prefer, whether the returnee or the new ones. I think I'm leaning more towards the newer cast, because these outside relationships and things that everyone brings into it, it's a bit... But, you know, difficult to discern if you're not in that Survivor community.
Yeah, fair enough.
Sorry, Claudio, are you frozen or am I frozen? Okay, there we go. Yeah, okay. I was making sure, yeah. I agree with Sean and everything. It was a good season. I preferred it more than last season. Considering all the things they had to deal with, I think they pumped out probably one of the better Survivor shows in general, worldwide, if you want to put it the way it was edited, cut, production, and the way the players played. I think it was great. Hopefully they can do the same or better, and they should bring it back. I do think they should bring back the one week episode, just purely so that you can gestate everything that happens. As Sean did say, so much happens that you might remember the last episode more, and I was like, oh, it's a great week, and meanwhile, nothing happened in the first 3 days. So yeah. I'll agree with him there, but not for the Rhino situation. but yeah, I think it should be a season 10.
Yeah, agreed. And to everyone
who wants to survive a Kailisha?
No. I mean, maybe. I mean, it could be interesting. Anyway, so Ponga says, we just need more Survivors so you can watch more TNO. Olanko says, thank you till next time. Thank you so much for joining us. And of course, Michaela, she made an appearance this season. Who knows? She might be a future co-host. Depends on what the contracts and negotiations and how they go, Warren. You're going to have to handle that sort of conversation with Michaela moving forward. We've got Dylan Faris saying, I would love Survivor SA fans versus favorites. That was actually the idea for S9. Sir, You are Survivor's historian. Get this information out there. People will follow you just for that. And again, we've got Mr. Ponga saying, much love, TNO. Yes, one episode a week means more TNO. That way, Phil gets an easy golden spear. And yes, actually, Phil was the victim of the four episode a week. That's what he was. He didn't get his golden spear for that reason. Right, gentlemen, it's been a great season. I want to say thank you so much for joining us, Warren. Your work has been incredible. Also, drop your comments in below in terms of how many skulls you would give TNO for this season, and we'll take it from there. Thank you so much. Remember, and also, if you don't know what to be cool.
Be cool.
Nailed that, guys.